DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. Monsignor Esseff is a priest in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Esseff encountered Saint Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, I was thinking very much about the end of the church year. And God is going to present through the church the final judgment, the end times. What does that mean? You know, in the Epistle of Paul, he wants to give them comfort as he teaches the Christians what is going to happen on Judgment Day, on the final thing, not only for those here on earth who are going to remain, but for all those who came before and all those who have died, that Jesus has come for the salvation of all mankind. But today, I really believe the gospel was very much meant, yes, it is for the judgment of all mankind. But I would really think that today it was meant especially for leaders in the church, for charismatics, for those who are called to be leaders in the church, especially for religious. And it addresses them in this way with regard to the final judgment. It's a magnificent teaching in the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel. This is before the teaching of the last judgment by Jesus in saying, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and sick and in prison. When did we do this for you, Lord? Whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it for me, emphasizing charity. But here he is talking about our relationship with God, which is much more important than what we do. And in the 25th chapter, in the first 13 verses, Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when they taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, there was a cry, Behold, the bridegroom is here. Come out to meet him. So all of us in all of our mankind are being awakened. And this is the time when it is time to meet the Lord at the end of time. Then those virgins got up, trim their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise ones replied, No, for there may not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves. While they went out to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, this is very important words for each one of us to hear today. "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know not the day nor the hour." What is this about? Is this kind of a lack of charity on the part of this storytelling of the five wise? Why couldn't they have given their oil to the other five? Because it is the relationship with the bridegroom. What did the five have? What was the oil in the lamp? They had the relationship with the bridegroom. They knew the bridegroom, and the bridegroom knew them. What about the five foolish? They didn't know him. Key to this is Matthew's same gospel in the 7th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." The same words that they were saying, "Lord, Lord, open the door, unlock it." "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven." Many will say to me on that day, this is so important, "Lord, did we not do great miracles in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do great and mighty deeds in your name?" Then I will declare to them solemnly, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers." It's not what we do. It's the relationship with the bridegroom. What is that upon which we will be judged? Did I do the will of our Father? How important it is, especially for those who may be involved in charismatic renewal. How important it is for those who may be involved in doing great works, mighty works. Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name? That isn't what I'm going to judge you on. Did you do what I asked you to? Did you have a relationship with me? It is the relationship with God that is far more important than what we do. Not all those who say to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of God. How many times in our relationship with God, we do what we want to for God? How many leaders in the church today, how many charismatic people are going according to what I want to do rather than listening to what God wants us to do? Leadership in the church today is so darkened because we have, first of all, it's not activity, it's the relationship. And so when Jesus is teaching us this gospel today, the true wisdom of God was exercised by those who, first of all, listened to him and did what he asked us to do. When Jesus taught the kingdom of God and the coming of the kingdom, He said when he was teaching his disciples how to pray, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we all get to heaven, and that's really what the kingdom of heaven is about. The kingdom of heaven has been established by Jesus Christ, who came to earth to teach us how to do the will of his Father. And all through this whole church year, he has been teaching us to listen to the Father, to listen to him. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one until I came along knew the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And so unless we establish the relationship in him and he in each of us has a knowledge and an awareness of what that is that the Father wants of each one of us. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. When I would speak, for instance, with the saints, Mother Teresa, I would ask her, what do you want me to pray for? Invariably, she would answer, pray I stay out of God's way. Her holiness depended on that she listened to what God wanted her to do. It's not what Mother Teresa did ever. When you really listen to those who are wise virgins, who know what it is, it's not what she did. It wasn't the accomplishments of Mother Teresa. It was that she did the will of her Father. She, first of all, asked him what it is you want me to do. The story of Mother Teresa and her holiness is the story of what God can do with a person. Every saint who understands and is aware of God and his desire is like the virgin who has oil in the lamp. The oil in the lamp is not what I'm going to do for God. How many people get so lost in doing good works? And so on a day like today, as we prepare for the coming of the Lord, all of us are called upon as we prepare for the coming of the Lord at the end of this year, when we celebrate Christ the King and his feast. It's not that we're going to be called. All of us are going to be called to die. And, you know, it's not that this is going, that the church is teaching. Yes, there will be an end to the world. And the church is very much teaching that. The end of time will come. But that isn't what like a doomsday saying. But each one of us in his day or in her day is going to be called to make an answer. What did you do with what I gave you? And so the foolish ones will be thinking, this is what I did. No, I did what you asked me to do. And so in order to establish that doing what you asked me to do, I must constantly listen to what it is that you want me to do. The oil in the lamp is the relationship that we have with the bridegroom. The true bride knows her husband. He constantly uses this term, the bridegroom, because it's heaven is a wedding feast. It's a feast between a husband and his wife. How many husbands and wives are there now as we prepare for these comings of the last days? How many husbands and wives have a relationship with one another? Many husbands and wives are still living together, and even in their staying together, it doesn't mean that they have the relationship that we're talking about in this gospel, the oil in the lamp, that which gives the relationship, the listening to one another. The bride is constantly listening to her husband. What it is that he wants, not what I want to give him. And so many wives are giving their husbands great things. Great. How many times have you received something from your spouse, and it really doesn't mean anything to you because it's not what he or she is doing for you, is that they have really listened and heard what it was in your heart. The surprise and the beauty of a relationship between a husband and wife. It's the same between the bride and the bridegroom that we're talking about. And the foolish one is constantly saying, what I did for my spouse, rather than have a relationship with the spouse. And so Jesus again is telling us, listen what he is saying, especially in the 7th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. And there is only one who has done that, and that's Jesus. And Jesus in me has that relationship with his Abba. He always does the will of his Father. What is that flask of oil between the Son and the Father? It's that which the Son had from all eternity, the Holy Spirit. The union of the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who unites us, my soul, my virginity, my union with the Father. And the Holy Spirit and I have made a relationship with one another. The Trinity and the Triune God, for those who are going to spend an eternity with God, they have learned to listen to the power of the Spirit. Paul, in talking about the end times, has in the 4th chapter, and especially he's teaching on the end times to the Thessalonians, we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not be grieved like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with a word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, console one another with these words. He who is in us is in relationship to the Father. He who is the Son of God has come to earth to be in us. He is the wisdom of God. He is the power of God. And he is in each one of us. And he alone is the one who has relationship with the Father. And together, every single day, until we meet him in heaven, will be our bridegroom. He and I are one. As the Father and I are one, so you and I are one. As the Father loves me, so I have loved you. The only thing the Son does is the will of the Father. He knows the Father, but he alone is the only one who knows the will of the Father. And so when he in me does anything, it's not what he does. It's not what I do. It's what he does that's pleasing to the Father. And before I do anything, it's only him in me and I in him. And so the relationship is something. It's the Trinitarian relationship in each one of our hearts that we do know. How important it is for us to establish that truth, especially before we get carried off into the last judgment.
Monsignor?
Yes?
You had mentioned charismatics, those people who really feel they are listening to the Lord. And they may be listening to you now and saying, but I feel he wants me to do all these things. They might say, the Lord put it on my heart, and I need to do this and this and this. And it becomes very confusing for them. What would you say to them?
I really believe that it's not all those who say, Lord, Lord, that are going to enter the kingdom of God. But that discernment that has to take place as to what I'm doing, if I'm doing great works, and if I'm doing mighty deeds, and if I'm doing this miraculous power, and what that's going to bring in the inner self is, as it always will bring, is great peace. The way we can test that one is by obedience. The law that Jesus always had, an obedience to his Father. And in the church, his life, he has subject to the will of a superior. How many times in the life of a saint, for instance, Saint Pio had a tremendous suffering, but his whole life was subject to his obedience to his superior. His stigmata was not more important than his obedience to his bishop, than his obedience to his superior. And the way we know the saint is that we're subject. When he was ordered not to preach, he didn't preach. When he was ordered to do anything, he did exactly what he was told to do. And I think, for instance, we have a great example in Omaha of someone who had great charismatic gifts, but was ordered to stop. And I really believe gone awry, lack of obedience. Always you subject this to a great authority in the church. So to the God, the Father, shows his authority in his church. And someone who certainly knows that authority is the devil. And he is constantly trying and testing whether this be done under the obedience and the power of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so he is subject to that power.
Isn't it true, Monsignor, that when it's disordered, there is an abundance of pride? It is my gift. It's my doing. Look what we're doing. And there's division and anger and all these other things that just do not smack of virtue. And that's why it's so important to subject whatever those quote-unquote gifts might be to a higher authority in the church for testing, particularly of the spirits that move our hearts, not only for the protection of the person and their families, but also for the people they will affect in the community as well.
The way we also know whether we are doing this according to the will of the Father is that it will have and bring a great inner peace. And many times it does bring, if it does, one of the fruits that happened there in Omaha was division and confusion. There is a union and an awareness and a deep relationship between the wise virgin and the bridegroom. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this program or to browse hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com.